Welcome, everybody. The main section of today's discussion is really the impact of attitude. Now, there are facts on the ground, and there is our perception of these facts. Attitude is our perception, it's our perspective, our feelings about people, ideas, or things. When we don't like something, we have three different choices. We can move away from it, stop doing it, avoidance, if you will, or we can seek to change it. For example, if we don't like a deadline, we could try to get the deadline extended. If we don't like a task, we can try to amend the task, get it changed somehow. And finally, if we can't avoid it or change it, we can change our attitude about it. And that's what today's session's about. Unfortunately, many problems are caused on the job by avoidance, whose other name, by the way, is procrastination. And if you do this consistently, it directly affects your reputation, which is other people's attitudes towards you. For these reasons and more, my belief is that your attitude should be the first thing that you work on, not the last. It definitely is in your control. Too often, though, we forget that simple truth. We look for the bad and we find it. This reinforces our worldview, which causes us to successfully see more bad. And if you're with others who share this view, the attitude, this attitude, is even more reinforced. It's a vicious cycle. Interestingly, the opposite is also true. If you look for the good, you'll find that as well. This also reinforces your worldview, which again causes us to successfully see more good. And if you're with others who share this view, this positive attitude is even more reinforced. It's a virtuous cycle. The consulting world recognizes the difference as well. One of the most powerful facilitation techniques is something called appreciative inquiry. Consultants are only called in generally, well, pretty much all the time, whenever there's a problem to be solved. After all, why should you call in a consultant if everything is running smoothly? The consulting team would show up, diagnose the source of the problem, and help the management team focus exclusively on getting rid of the bad, getting rid of the problem. The problem, though, is that this focus on the bad means that the good is generally ignored. And while the bad problem may be solved, inevitably, new issues come up because less good is being done by the managers. Appreciative inquiry is all about focusing on what's good, what's right, and seeking to do more of it. In this way, the bad is pushed out of the organization. As someone has facilitated groups using both processes, there's a huge difference in the minds of the participants after the initial meeting. When the focus is on dissecting the problem, when the focus is on the bad, everyone feels bad. The problem looms large. When the focus is on the good, everyone feels good. They feel that they can take on the world. If you were managing a team, what would you prefer, a group that is feeling beaten up or a group that felt they could accomplish anything? One management or consulting approach can reinforce a vicious cycle. The other approach can reinforce a virtuous cycle. One of my favorite t-shirts has a picture of a glass on it with a text, glass half full, prominently beneath it. In fact, we're all familiar with the expression, is the glass half full or half empty? My point is that there are implications to how you answer. How you answer determines whether you are in a vicious cycle or a virtuous one. Finally, there's a social dimension to attitude. Think about all the people who you know who are whiners or complainers. Do you enjoy spending time with them? How about the people who are positive and helpful? We naturally try to minimize exposure to those who we think are corrosive and maximize our time with people we enjoy being with. If you're hoping for a promotion, consider how your manager and colleagues see you. A simple test. If people steer clear of you, it's because of your attitude. If people are attracted to you, it's because of your attitude. Beyond your skill base, the likelihood of getting a promotion or getting hired for a job is because of your attitude. Now, no one is perfect, and no one's attitude is perfect, and we all have our ups and downs. The big question is whether we can change our attitude, and the answer is absolutely yes. And I'd like to spend the next chunk of time suggesting how to do that. So, Randall's Brain Trust top 10 tips for having a great attitude and developing a better one. Number one is to be intentional. Specifically, to commit to yourself, and specifically commit to yourself that you will work on a better attitude. Letting things happen by chance means an attitude change, well, may happen by chance, but likely won't happen at all. You have to decide that, yes, you want to do something about it. I'm not just talking about an attitude of being a good attitude or a bad attitude. You can have questioning attitudes. You can have attitudes that run the whole spectrum of emotions. The question is, what attitude do you want to portray, and do you want to feel internally yourself? Number two is to set what I call meta-objectives. So focusing on the positive aspect of tasks or even people you're not particularly keen on. So if you set positive objectives over and above the apparent objective of a task, that's what I mean. For example, you may need to work with someone you don't enjoy. A meta objective might be to discover, while working with them, one thing they do better than anyone else, and then figure out how you too can develop that skill. It may be that they're an annoying individual, and you may be focusing on that because of that annoying tendency they have. But if you can instead focus on that meta objective, you can see some good coming out of that task or that person that you're dealing with. Number three, this is pretty simple, but it's got to be on the list. Focus on the positive. In the same way that the glass can be half full or half empty, each situation you find yourself also has two sides. As soon as you feel and as soon as you see that there's a half full glass in front of you, immediately stop and identify how or why it's half full. It's a question of perspective. Number four, fly with the eagles, or rather, fly away from the whiners and complainers. Since you're far more likely to adopt the attitudes of those who spend your time with, choose to spend your time with upbeat, positive people, and stop spending time with people who have poor attitudes and suck the life out of you. If you want to be an eagle, start flying with eagles. Number five, become a teacher. Each of us, we are models for our children, for our staff, and for our colleagues. If you notice unhealthy attitudes in those around you, then hold up the mirror. Where do you think those attitudes came from? Working hard modeling a great attitude means that others will start reflecting these attitudes back to you, which makes it easier to model and reflect back to them, and so on. This is the virtuous cycle once again. Number six, be authentic. While fake it till you make it has some merit in the sense that it can help you become more comfortable with unfamiliar behaviors and attitudes, being fake has absolutely no merit. Having a Pollyanna attitude of everything is perfect is inauthentic, it's unrealistic, and unhelpful. Instead of pretending that everything is fine, since often it isn't, focus instead on developing a healthy and positive reaction to your surroundings. Number seven. Enlist the support of friends, family, and colleagues. Bring them into your circle of trust and ask them to tell you precisely when your attitude is unhelpful. Sometimes we don't realize when our attitude is not good, and a helpful nudge can let us know. Number eight, move on. Sometimes we found ourselves in a toxic environment where we use our attitude as a defense mechanism, a bully boss at the workplace, an abusive spouse at home. In these situations, you may have no choice but to get yourself away from the situation. If you don't, it's bound to get worse, as will your attitude. Number nine, cognitive restructuring. Often, when you're faced with a stressful situation, our strong emotional reaction colors and drives our attitude. Cognitive restructuring is a technique to rationally examine our thoughts and reframe how we think. This then would allow us to have a more considerate attitude towards the situation. For example, asking yourself questions like, what is the worst that can happen, and can I deal with it? Am I looking at this situation correctly? What proof do I have of my fears? These can help us reframe and improve our attitude. And finally, number 10, have fun. Too often, our poor attitudes are caused by an imbalance between fun and not fun activities. Think about what gives an intrinsic sense of satisfaction to you. Maybe it's listening to music or reading inspiring books or exercise. Just do more of it. Finally, another interesting connection to attitude is in the field of change management. There's a clear link between individual attitude and individual behavior. You generally won't do something unless you want to do it. But individual attitude also has an impact on group attitude. Think about it. One great manager can change the entire corporate culture, and one rotten apple will spoil them all. The same thing goes for behavior. There is a link between individual behavior and group behavior. It's easier for others to get on the bandwagon than to be a trailblazer themselves. My point is that attitude is at the core of everything. Perhaps that's why the expression that it's your attitude, not aptitude, that will help you achieve your altitude. So somebody likes that one.
Thank you.